I can take my hands off the wheel because there is somebody else who is in control of my life. There is someone who knows the giftings that I have, giftings that I may not even realize, that I can't see. It's like I've got these blinders on, but there's somebody, and the Bible talks about how God's ways are higher than our ways. His level of understanding and even how we're created is something that I feel like it's our job to just kind of take his hand and let him show us who he created us to be and what he created us to do.
Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us feel less alone, more connected, and move us to become a better world together. Each week, I'll be interviewing inspiring and relatable guests in attempts to get to know their hearts, celebrate their stories, and explore the concept of hope to hear how and if it has played a role in their lives, ultimately answering the question, does hope still win? If so, why? And if not, why not? I'm excited for you to hear from today's special guest. This week, I have the honor of sitting down with multi-award-winning artist and songwriter and podcaster, author and nonprofit leader, Matthew West. This year, he has had 5 number one songs to his credit, including his own multi-week number one song, What If? He is also this year's ASCAP Christian Songwriter of the Year, his 4th time with this honor in his career. He has also received American Music Award, Billboard Music Award, and has been named Billboard's Hot Christian Songwriter of the Year. During the pandemic, West released songs like Take Heart, Quarantine Life, Gobble Gobble, and 2 duets for Truth Be Told with CMA Award winner and 3-time ACM Awards nominee Carly Pierce, and another version with multi-genre artist Lathan Werlick. He has also hosted his own podcast, the Matthew West Podcast, with new episodes weekly. Matthew is about to get us all in the holiday spirit, and if you haven't already, I encourage you to please download his brand new Christian album, We Need Christmas, out now. In addition to his holiday album, Matthew and I talk about hope, what it means like to have hope and a loving connection with those around you and with God. We talk about his background to become an artist, from his disappointments in his not becoming an athlete, to then growing into himself as a musical artist. Well, I am super excited for all of you to hear this conversation. It is a joy to have Matthew West on the podcast. Well, let's get into it, my friends. It is time for some holiday spirit. On this week's episode of Hope Still Wins, here is my very talented friend, Matthew West. Matthew West is joining me. Matthew, thank you so much, buddy.
Dude, it's so great to see you again. Thanks for having me on.
It is it's a special time of the year. It is holiday season. You just came out with an album called We Need Christmas. That's a powerful statement, man. It's a powerful statement. Why was that the album's title?
Yeah, these last couple years, it's just felt like heavy times, man. Like the this hard season, it feels like the West family has been sort of crawling its way towards December, and by the time we get to the end of the year, it's like, thank God it's over, as opposed to like, thank God it's here, you know. And so frankly, the West family has kind of felt like we need December. Like once December comes around, all of a sudden we're singing songs about joy and peace and hope and love, all the things that it felt like there was a supply chain shortage of the rest of the year. You know what I mean? And it's crazy because I've been thinking about, like, we have all these headlines about supply chain shortages. And it's just like the one thing that there seems to be a surplus of is bad news. And that's why I wanted to call this album We Need Christmas, because I just felt like, I wonder how many people out there feel like me, where you start to look around and you go, maybe there is a supply shortage of all these essentials that our hearts are craving. But when we turn the corner towards December, we start singing these Christmas carols, we start getting together with our friends and family, there's that glimmer of hope. There's that reminder that God still offers us some of the essentials, all of the essentials, really, that our hearts and our souls are desperate for. No matter how hard of a year it's been, we can be reminded at Christmas time that there's still hope, there's still peace, there's still love, and there's still joy waiting to be found. So I made the record in the hopes that it put a smile on somebody's face, or a family turn it on in the kitchen while they're making cookies, and be reminded that hope can still be found. Hope still wins, somebody once said.
Somebody once said it. We might verify that at the end of this episode. I don't know.
Benjamin Franklin. I think it was Ben Franklin.
Yeah. He gets credit for everything. Well, I want to start at the beginning for you so people understand why you even try to do what you do. Mm. You obviously have a great voice. You're musically talented. But you chose to do a version of ministry through an artistic expression. Mm. Why is speaking about hope and love the career path that you walked into years ago?
Yeah, I wanted to be a baseball player. And I know some of your story, and you put out a great book this past year. And I know, like, we both were on paths where what we were passionate about isn't what we wound up actually pursuing for the rest of our lives. And so I wanted to be in sports, and kind of ignored the fact that everybody was actually telling me that I had a gift for music, because all I cared about was having a gift for baseball. I wanted to be the captain of my football team. And that was what consumed me, sports and girls. And God was somewhere on that list, but not at the top, you know. And
I can't relate.
Exactly. None of us can. But you know, it was one of those things, like when I realized, and kind of, you know, I think people knew it before I saw it, was that I wasn't going to get a scholarship offer, and I wasn't going to get drafted to the Chicago Cubs. And those dreams that I had were sort of foolish, in that there was a whole lot of athletes that were better than I was. And it took that door closing for me for my parents' words to really stick. And my parents kept encouraging me, hey, you have plans for your life, but the one who made you has a plan for you that's so much better than you could even dream up on your own. His dreams are bigger than your dreams. My dad would always say, he would try to put it in baseball terms. He's like, your dreams are minor league dreams compared to God's major league dreams for you. And so it wasn't until the dream of baseball and sports went away that I began to kind of tap into, okay, well, maybe the author of my story has a better plan than I could create. And I began to, like, have my eyes open to see how people were encouraging me all along that music was an area of gifting. And once that light bulb went on and I got a guitar and I taught myself how to play guitar in my dorm room in college, I was a freshman in college. And for the first time, I didn't have sports as my identity. And I was pretty lonely. And I sat in my dorm room and taught myself to play guitar. And I began writing my first songs. All of a sudden, the football team starts coming around saying, hey, why don't you come play our frat party? And I began to realize that maybe music was going to be the way that I would tell my story, and ultimately my story of faith, to a world that needs a lot of hope. You know, Ben, some of my most defining moments as an artist took place at the very beginning, when the frat house would shut down their dance floor at midnight, and they'd say, guitar man, get up there. And I'd be singing for all these drunk college students, and they had no idea I was singing songs about the God who gives me hope in my darkest times. And I began to realize, like, man, this is a way that music could go places that, you know, maybe other things can't. And this music could encourage somebody who needs some hope, you know.
Our stories are similar in a lot of ways, and we were able to talk on your podcast that we'll talk about in a bit. And, you know, I have pains in my life, just like everybody does. I have struggles. I have, you know, stuff that I go through. I don't have, like, some, you know, my big moment of conversion or to pivot in my life was that same thing. Like, a knee injury causes sports to be taken out of the picture. Then I'm like, well, I'm not that smart. I don't get good grades. I get into college and I'm just another dude who's going to get fat, you know, drinking beer and eating pizza while my roommates play college basketball.
Yeah.
And at some point within that, you go, this is either my lot in life, just to be sitting on the sidelines, or I need to figure out what's important to God and to me so that I can live out my best self. Now, for me, I've been able to write about that in my book. But for you, that same kind of storyline exists for so many, an identity switch,
yeah,
a change, a moment of feeling like, I don't know who I am anymore.
Yeah.
Can you walk through that season of what that felt like to go from the athlete, to go from the guy with the big dreams, to then being sitting in your, you know, your freshman dorm room playing guitar and trying to figure out if music was the answer?
Yeah, and it's, people loved your podcast episode when you came on my show because you shared just so honestly about that process of kind of going, and because people look at someone like you or maybe someone like me on stage and go, well, they figured it out. You know what I mean? And I think there's a community that comes as a result of someone being vulnerable and saying, hey, let me tell you about these times where I had no clue who I was and had to do some serious soul searching. And so I was glad to hear that you were starting your own podcast, because I know that your voice is one that's helping a whole lot of people who are struggling to find hope. And a lot of times it's hard to find hope when you're just not sure who you are. You're not sure what you're supposed to do with life. And here's the thing, and this is why podcasts like yours are important. I think shows like mine are important, is there's a whole lot of people in this world. They're trying to figure out who they are. And there's so many voices around us, and they're telling us to look within for the answers that we need. You'll find the answers you need inside of you. And I don't know about you, but it's like you just said, when you started thinking about your options and you're like, oh, I don't think I'm smart enough. And I don't think I'm all I know is when I look within for the answers, I let myself down. I do a good job of doing a bad job. When I'm the one whose hands are on the steering wheel of my life, I'm going to wind up in a ditch. And so I think the biggest turning point in my life, and it's been more than one time where I've had to be reminded that I can take my hands off the wheel because there is somebody else who is in control of my life. There's someone who knows the giftings that I have, giftings that I may not even realize, that I can't see. It's like I've got these blinders on, but there's somebody, and the Bible talks about how God's ways are higher than our ways. His level of understanding and even how we're created is something that I feel like it's our job to just kind of take his hand and let him show us who he created us to be and what he created us to do. And so I would encourage, like, anybody listening to this, like, I wonder if you're in a season where that dream didn't come true, that relationship ended, your heart was broken, that disappointment just smacked you across the head, that door closed, whatever it might be. I believe that God is reminding each and every one of us that every single day we can dream again, that we can dare to believe again and dream a new dream. Because when God says he knows the plans he has for us, he's not joking, and he's not talking in past tense. He's not surprised when your dream doesn't come true. He's saying, okay, that's out of the way now. Let me show you what I really had planned for you. So I look back and I think of it, the things that didn't happen for me, I look at them as like the best thing. You know, you always talk about the best thing that ever happened. I think about the best things that never happened. You know, I think about the old Garth Brooks song, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. You know, God, I want to be a Major League Baseball player. Well, I'm kind of glad that that prayer didn't get answered, because God knew all along that he had a much bigger plan to use my voice to speak hope into the world. And, you know, so that fires me up just talking about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I want to dig into that a little bit. If you don't mind, we're going to dig into a question that so many are asking right now, within the church and with outside the church. And one that I think you're somebody that I really wanted to just discuss this with. And that's authenticity and genuineness within the church. I think for as much as this season has been one that feels like it lacks hope, I think so many are wondering where the church has been at within that, and what the church can do. So you're somebody who, because of your love for God and for others, and because of your talent, has been able to make a living being on stage and now podcasting and writing music. I want to know, for you, how do you stand up on that stage and praise God every, you know, time you're up there, for the years that you've done it, and you're genuine and authentic, like, what drive, like, what's beneath you, what drives you to be able to do that? And maybe the answer is that you don't. That's okay too, because I wanted to go into that. But how do you stay authentic and genuine for this thing that you feel like God's called you into?
That's a great question. And the first thing that popped into my head, and I hope this is okay to say, you know, and hope people don't think less about me or less of me, but the reality is I've been a performer for so long, and even back as a child, I was the son of a preacher, and my ability to learn how to perform began long before I ever stepped on stage as an artist, because when you're going to church and everybody expects you to be the perfect preacher's kid, well, guess what? Nobody is perfect. So if you see somebody who looks perfect, they're pretending because they've learned how to perform. And the truth is, Ben, there's a lot of times in my life where I've been humbled by this thought. I think I'm better at talking about God from stage than I am at talking with God and to God off stage. And so sometimes one of my biggest struggles is like, I chase after it during my day. I get to do a podcast interview with you. I get to write a song. Later on, I get to go on stage and do a concert. And I do all these things in the name of doing good and helping other people. But sometimes I get so convicted and humbled by the thought that, did I forget to take care of first things first? Like I feel like God's inviting me to, like Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. That's the hardest thing for me, because I feel like my self-worth so many times is tied up in my ability to perform. And I think there's a deep inhale and exhale that takes place in the moments where I finally realize that I don't have to perform for God. He's not judging my performance. He knows that I'm far from perfect, and he's the only one. And today, do you know what a victory is for you and me today? Is to be reminded in the midst of our chaos that his invitation is to come and be with him. Even if it's just for a few moments, he's saying, come and be still and be reminded that I'm in control of your life. I've got a plan for you, and I love to be with you. And when you're in God's presence, you don't have to perform. You don't have to put on a show. You don't have to have all the right answers and quote all the right scriptures. He's simply saying, accept my invitation. I love the scripture that says, come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say, come unto me once you accomplish your checklist of things that make you feel like you're a worthy member of society. No, he just says, come unto me, all who are weary. I love you, my child. Come and spend time with me. And so I think when my ministry is at its strongest, it's when that stuff behind the scenes is being taken care of. First things first. And some days, I'm going to be honest, I get on stage and guess what? I'm in the middle of a song and I'm thinking, Lord, forgive me. I forgot to take care of first things first. And now here I am with an audience in front of me. And guess what shows up in those moments? Not guilt, but God's grace. Because he still speaks through a broken person like me who messes up a lot of times and forgets to take care of first things first.
It's I asked that question because it's a struggle. I mean, for as much as I can criticize on the outside, it's a struggle I deal with internally as well.
Oh, yeah.
We sit down here. We have great conversation. You know, I can go on a podcast and I can speak about Jesus, especially during the holiday season.
Right.
I can go out and I can talk to a group of people about the things that I know to be true or what I believe to be true. And then I come back home and I feel so far removed from all of it.
Right.
It is, you know, it's weird when your career also becomes the thing that you love the most and that you believe is an answer to humanity. We have a lot of, you know, pastors, and we have people outside of the faith that listen to this.
Right.
People from all different places in this world. If there's some tangible things that you do to keep yourself healthy, mentally especially, what are those things?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, one of my biggest songs this past couple of years was a song that is really about exactly what we're talking about. And I got real honest, and it's a song called Truth Be Told. And it talks about just like honesty and authenticity and how hard it is to find. And, you know, I would say I'm very thankful that my wife is my best friend and someone who always is reminding me that I don't have to always put on a performance. You know what I mean? And I think when you get the chance to surround yourself with people who love you for who you are and not what you do. And Ben, I would imagine in your life too, and in the celebrity status that you've attained in your life, sometimes you meet people and you wonder, like, do they like me for me? Or do they like me for what I can do for them? And so that's always a challenge. And I would say this, you talked about having ministers who listen to this or any high profile people. Is sometimes my dad's a preacher, and I would always think, well, where does the minister go to be ministered to? You know, like, where does Ben go that's a safe place when he doesn't feel like he can talk to anybody in this sort of casual circle of friends? And same for me. And so for me, I've found like the stigma of counseling has been thrown out the window for me. Like, I grew up thinking like, oh, so-and-so's in counseling. And it's like, man, I'm so thankful that we're living in a society that doesn't like shun that, but actually honors it and sees that as like, okay, hey, there's no shame in doing the hard work on yourself. And that's the reality so that's one of the biggest things. I would say, like, I'm always seeking out other spiritual resources, like books and devotions, and I've got the Bible app on my phone, and that helps me a lot. Like, little practical tools just to ping the system. Do you know what I mean? Like, you ever get a reminder of something on your phone? It's like, oh yeah, I gotta make that phone call. Or like, before I got on this interview, I got a reminder on my phone that said, call Ben, you're doing a podcast. And I feel like I need to strategically and intentionally set up those little reminders. Hey, spend time with the Lord today. Hey, like, I set that reminder up on my phone. Hey, continue your reading. And then don't beat yourself up when you screw up. Because I think sometimes that's the other part, is like, you can get so caught up in, well, I've read my Bible 10 days in a row. Congratulations. What happens on day 11 when you get busy and you forget and the enemy tries to make, oh, look at you, man. You have no discipline, man. You know, God loves you and you keep messing this up. And so there's that battle as well. But I would just say, man, finding that accountability too is also important, especially, you know, I've seen my wife. She has a great circle of friends who she can sit down with. And sometimes I feel a little more isolated in my career and in my profession. And so I've really had to seek out small circles of influence that where I will let people dig deep on me and not feel like I gotta like perform for them. You know, I want to be able to be held accountable for the way that I live my life. Because at the end of the day, man, I want my character and my integrity to line up with the music that I wrote. The last thing I would say about that, Ben, is I attended a funeral of this guy, and I didn't know the guy. I was just asked to like do a favor and sing a song. And so I stood up at this funeral. What I didn't realize is that while I was playing guitar, they were going to open the microphone up to anybody who wanted to share about this person. So I quickly realized, this is about to be a 3-hour song I'm going to play, right? But I began to listen as one by one, people came up and shared about this gentleman who had passed away. And at the end, his best friend, an older gentleman, stood up and he said, do you know what I find is the greatest tribute for our friend today? Is that of everybody who shared, there was not one conflicting report about what kind of man he was. And I just thought, like, I'll never forget that moment of like, I want to get to the end of my life and I don't want there to be any conflicting reports. On the flip side, I remember a news interview where a gentleman had been rescued from a coal mine where he had been stranded. I don't know if you ever remember this, but he got rescued and they were interviewing him, and his wife showed up at the rescue site. And so did his girlfriends. and he got exposed for infidelity on national television. Mm. And so I think about that. I want to live my life with no conflicting reports, but I can't do that if I'm constantly isolated. I need to have accountability, making sure that my integrity and my character are being tended to at every turn.
This week's episode of Hope Still Wins is brought to you by Generous International. Generous International is a company that I co-founded. Generous donates 100% of profits to nonprofits fighting human-facing injustice. So every bag of coffee bought, every cup of coffee drank, is going back to make the world a better place. Generous is best known for selling coffee, specialty grade coffee, so it's some of the best coffee in the world. You're going to drink coffee anyways, and like we like to say, why not make it life-changing coffee? Well, you can visit Generous at generouscoffee.com. Please go out today and check out Generous Coffee. That's a question that gets asked a lot because I think every person struggles to be held accountable and to keep their character in check. And I get asked it every once in a while. How do you do that? And, you know, one of the ways I've done that is I've given a few of my friends full access to criticize me. I trust them and I love them. I know they're not going to try to hurt me, right? Like, I'm going to open myself up to them. They're going to know everything about me. I know that if I have something to hide, I can't hide it from them. I've asked them to come to a place, and they do. And it's been healthy. And, it, you know, there's some wisdom to that. You know, my friends and my family and now my wife, that's something that has helped me because I know if I ran this thing alone, I know that there would be some conflicting reports. It doesn't come naturally to me to just be a good dude every day.
That's all of us, isn't it? I mean, that's we fool ourselves into thinking that we can live a good life on our own. Like, we need others to help us provide that moral compass. I love that you do that, Ben. And I, you know, it's funny because we're living in a day and age where we give access to our lives now more than ever on social media. Like, but the access that we grant everybody is a surface level access. So the irony is as we showcase our lives on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and all the things, we're actually creating these compartments. Like, this is the me that I show everybody. But then there's a tendency, and this comes back to what we talked about at the beginning, performance. Like, it's not just a singer who's at risk of living the life of a performer. It's not just a podcast host like yourself. It's every single one of us getting up every day, thinking about what we're posting on our feeds. Somebody's performance today is on Instagram, but then the real life that they're living can be shielded or hidden in their real struggles, and because they don't feel like they have a safe place to turn to. And so, man, I love that you have opened your life up to say, hey, I trust you. I know you love me, to your friend or your family member. I'm gonna let you kind of see behind the scenes, and you have permission to call me out if something's not lining up with what I say I believe and how I want to live.
And you know, and also I want to say that's a selfish choice by me in a sense. It's very much because that's okay. Because I want that. I want to be able to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night and know that if I've messed up, somebody is there to tell me. Somebody's there to walk me through it. Somebody's there to help correct my path. That's something that I desire for my life because I do want to be somebody that has a virtuous life, one that is of deep character, one that can make an impact, one that can sit with somebody when they're mourning and celebrate with somebody when joy is necessary, and that they trust that in that moment, I truly care, and that it's not just a performance. It's not just what I'm going to do now and then later on change course.
The thing is, too, man, our lives are so short, and we live like we're going to live forever. And we say, oh, I'll take care. You know, this is not out of control, or this habit, it's okay. And you wind up sweeping so many things under the rug, whether it's things you need to deal with in your personal life or things you need to deal with relationships. And man, I think these last 2 years, haven't they taught us that, like, man, this life is brief. Every day we're given is a gift. And so, I mean, I believe that God has us here on this earth for a reason, and it's not to coast through life. It's not to present some sort of surface level, inauthentic version of our stories. I believe it's for us to not look within ourselves to figure out what our identity is or who we are. We were created by an author, and he knows how many pages of our story that we all get. We don't know how many pages. And I don't say that to be morbid, but look, these last 2 years hopefully should wake us all from our slumber to go, you know what? Life's short. Life's brief. I want to make the most of it. And in order to do that, I want God to have the chance to examine me and to help grow me. And he's going to put people in my life to hold me accountable and become the man or woman of integrity and character and honesty and virtue and patience and love and kindness. I want to be the best version of me before it's all said and done. And I know you do too. And I know your listeners do. And sometimes it takes working hard on that, just like we work hard in our careers and working hard in all of our other endeavors. Let's do the hard work on us too.
It's so interesting you said that, Matthew, because right before we jumped on here, I was talking to one of my best friends in the world, the best man in his wedding coming up, and we're talking about the last 2 years. And that's 2% of our life if we live to be 100.
Wow.
That's a big portion of our life. Like 2% doesn't sound big, but that's a big portion of the life that we get to live.
Yeah.
And then we take it back to, and people on the podcast know this, but one of my other best friends in the world is 35 years old and was just diagnosed with ALS. I went to his appointment in Boston this last week, and he got the official diagnosis. And ALS gives you 2 to 5 years to live. We're hoping that, you know, there's some miracles that can take place, some medicine that can take place, and allow that life to continue. It's not promised for any of us. But for somebody who's 35 years old, these last 2 years have been a big deal. And they come out of nowhere. You know what? He woke up one morning, his little, you know, his left arm was twitching a bit. It spread. And now, you know, his speech is gone, and it crushes us as a group. But there's hope still in that. And that's where I want to transition that, because there's hope still in the 35 years he's been able to live here, and hopefully the 50 years more he gets to do that as well. But the big nugget that I want everybody to realize, and we hear it so often, is this life is short. This life is fragile. Live it to the most, and that if you have breath, you have value. And until that smacks you in the face, oftentimes it just sounds like something everybody says in the world. And it just, you know, but when it smacks you in the face with yourself or a family member or a close friend or maybe somebody you've looked up to in life, then it starts to hit deep. It starts to change the course of the heart. And within that, even in these moments, in this story that is sad for some to hear and probably relatable for many to hear, there has to be hope. And I want to now transition the last few minutes we have here to talk about this hope that this whole podcast is about. You said at the beginning, this podcast is meant to discuss hope. If you believe hope exists, if you don't believe hope exists, it's just a podcast meant to tell our stories as humans and then see if there is any underlying hope within it. And if there's not, that's okay too, because we can talk about what that means. But in your new song, We Need Christmas, you say this line, you say the hope that love can bring.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you in the last few minutes we have about dissecting what does a loving lifestyle, what is loving people, how does that bring hope?
I love that question, and I love it at Christmas time especially. And one of the things that my nonprofit is doing right now is we've pinpointed some individuals and families who are facing an especially great need this Christmas, and we're blessing them with a financial gift just to help them get through the holidays. But I'm going to tell you the idea here. This is the thing. You may be so discouraged in your life. Do you want to know one of the great remedies to break out of your own discouragement? To have something that lifts your eyes off of your own circumstances. And guess what that can be? Ask God to show you somebody around you who needs some hope this Christmas. And then realize that God's equipped you to be the source of that hope. So it's not just about the reality that we ourselves may be needing Christmas, but somebody around you needs it too. Have you ever heard the quote? It says, be kind, because everybody is fighting a hard battle. And one of the things that I've found has been the greatest remedies for my own personal discouragement is when I lift my eyes off of my own, whatever it is that's discouraging me, and I see how God could use me to be hope in somebody else's life. That's where my greatest joy comes from. Not when I throw myself a birthday party, but when I throw a birthday party for my daughter, right? When you think about throwing a party for somebody else this Christmas, you don't even have time to think about your own problems. And I'm not talking about ignoring your own problems, but I'm talking about getting perspective. I've heard somebody say once that if everybody in the world took their problems and put them all in one great big pile, chances are you would look at that pile and see everybody else's problems and gladly take yours back, because you start to realize, man, everybody's facing some big battles. And so if I can encourage anybody with this thought today, it's that, hey, does somebody around you need Christmas in a special way? I guarantee you that right now there's a single mom who can't afford gifts for her kids, and maybe you just got a bonus and you could step in. I guarantee you right now there's an opportunity at the church you go to volunteer, or there's a homeless organization downtown wherever you live, or there's somebody that needs a coat. I mean, I'm talking about just ways of living our lives with generosity and love. Both receiving the love that's offered to us by God this Christmas and every day of our lives, but then taking it and saying, I'm going to be intentional in the way that I pour that love out to others. And man, I'm just telling you, I can say this firsthand, that when I step out of my selfishness and I see somebody else's need, and then I seek to meet that need, there's a gift of joy and hope that I get in return. And I don't know why it's such a simple principle, but it's a life-changing one. And those moments when I'm able to snap out of my own problems and see that, those are game-changing moments in my life. And I believe that can be a game-changing moment in somebody's life this Christmas.
You're spot on, because, you know, during the holiday season, it's a time to celebrate. It's a time to get together with others. Some don't have that opportunity this year, and many haven't had that opportunity in the past. But I also see with the holidays and with New Year's, it's a time for reflection. You know, I'm 32 years old. Every year of my life that I can remember, somebody has asked me, you know, what is my New Year's resolution? What am I going to be doing with the new year?
Right.
And oftentimes, I don't know if I've ever stuck to one of them. I don't even know if I could name any of them from the last 32 years.
Yeah, right.
So instead, and I told my wife this because it's something I need, and you spoke on it. This time of the year is a time of reflection on the year past and the year to come, where I'm at in life, what I've done, you know, that's brought joy to myself and others, what I've not done that's hurt other, or what I have done that's hurt others, what I've pushed aside and neglected based on, you know, bad decisions or selfish ambitions. It's a time for reflection. I think it's a great note for anybody listening, is if anything, if all else fails, if you're not going to stick to one New Year's resolution, if this holiday season is not marked and or is not going to become the thing that you hoped it would become, at least use some time in our isolation, in our to reflect, because we got so much value. If you're listening, you've got so much value. Well, to close up here, I want to congratulate you, because yes, and I opened up the podcast with an intro to all of your accomplishments and all the crazy cool things you've done and all the accolades you've gotten. You deserve them all. And,
thank you.
You've been very, very successful and awarded for that success and because of your talent. But you also have a podcast, as we talked about. It's on the same network that I'm on.
Yeah.
That Sounds Fun Network. The Matthew West Podcast, and you just crossed 1.5 million I'm not there yet, buddy. Million downloads. Just for a second here, where did this podcast come from? You stand on stage for a living. Now you're sitting behind a mic and I'm looking at you right now in a room with some soundboards on it. Why did this podcast start?
Man, curiosity. You know, I'm passionate about the power of story. And, you know, I love the chance to be on the other side of the microphone. Like, today's been fun. You're asking me questions about my life and my career. But, you know, after you do a lot of interviews and I travel around the country, I visit radio stations. You know, I love the idea of turning the microphone around and like having you on the show and getting to hear more of your story that I didn't know before. And people just loving that type of conversation. I've loved every second of it. And every guest that comes on my show, I feel like challenges me. Makes me want to learn more. I'm reading their books, reading your book, and it's like, oh man, I'm growing from that. And I think it all ties back to what you and I have been talking about. It's like, I just want to make the most of the one shot I get in this life. And so whether it's a podcast or I'm writing a song or doing a concert, whatever it may be, I'm trying to remember, okay, take care of first things first today. Spend some time with Jesus. Love other people. And then use your voice in any way possible to, like you were talking about, you have value. We all have a voice. We all have a story. And I want to use my life to bring a voice of hope to people. So if people listen to podcasts, then I want to be there. And I want to be there with a voice of hope and a voice of light and a voice of love that lets people know they're not alone. So it's been fun doing the podcast. And, you know, my all-time favorite guest on the show, ladies and gentlemen, he was Ben Higgins. Oh, I forgot. I thought I was doing my own show now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Too nice. Well, you also have a virtual Christmas show.
Yeah, man, it's
airing at 8 different times. It's going to be kicking off here. How do people join this virtual Christmas show?
Man, it's super cool. Hey, you should come on and do a duet with me, by the way. Can you sing?
I mean, I can sing, yes. Do you want me to sing?
Okay, maybe not. But it's called the We Need Christmas Live from Nashville. It takes place the week of Christmas. And what's great about it is people from all around the country and all around the world can all tune in. And you get one ticket and then you gather your friends or family and watch from your living room while we bring you this this Christmas concert. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. We have people watching from Japan and people from London and people from Wisconsin all on the same showtime. So at MatthewWest.com, they can get their tickets. And it's just a great way. These virtual concerts came up as a result of the pandemic. And now we just continue doing them as a great way to stay connected with people all around the world.
That's beautiful, man. Well, and as I mentioned many times throughout this podcast, your new Christmas record just came out called We Need Christmas. It's out right now. Go check it out. Well, thanks. Matthew West, really appreciate you coming on. We end every episode in the same way with the same question. Answer it however you want. Take as long or as short as you need. There's no judgment here. But the final question for you, Matthew West, do you believe hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not?
That's a great question. I love that you started asking that question and going live throughout the pandemic, and I followed your journey, and I think it's bringing hope to so many people. So my answer is yes, hope still wins. And what I want to add to that is that I believe that every single person can be a conduit of that hope to somebody else. Just like we were talking about, we need Christmas. Somebody around you needs Christmas, and you have value because you could be somebody who lets somebody else know they're not alone. They matter. They are loved, and they were made by a God who has a great big plan for their lives. And like my dad said, it's a major league plan, not a minor league plan. And so I believe hope still wins, and I believe we can be the carriers of that hope to somebody else this Christmas.
Matthew West, thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much for tuning in today's episode of Hope Still Wins. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this conversation, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. That is it for today, my friends. I highly encourage you to download Matthew's new album, We Need Christmas, wherever you listen to music, and check out the show notes to see where you can tune in to one of his virtual Christmas shows airing 8 different times from December 21st through December 25th. Thank you again for listening to this week's episode of Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins, and let's talk soon.